Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And the count at no balls and two strikes. This pitch on the outside corner for a called third strike. And the Jack Leiter contingent behind home plate goes wild. That's a great way to start.
Hixie with the call yesterday on this radio station. We are your home for Rangers baseball. And tonight, they go and take on the mighty Atlanta Braves. And you can only watch it on Apple TV. More on that in just a second. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Jack Leiter started off with the nasty stuff. Strikeout on three pitches to begin. The final strikeout of the inning was on 98. And Jack had to be thinking, okay, I can do this. And then the second inning happened. And the Rangers' 4-1 lead went bye-bye. Now, I did find it encouraging. The first encouraging thing was the first inning stuff. The second and only encouraging thing, he came back out after he got rocked and the bullpen was warming up. They put him back out there, wanted to save the bullpen, and he went 1-2-3 in the inning.
Yeah, and they had to. You don't want to have your bullpen go seven innings, especially before you got to go take on Atlanta without a day off. A very good team, a team that can mash. The Braves are one of a handful of teams that have scored over 100 runs this year. They got 108 runs, which I do believe is second most in the sport behind San Diego, who's played more games. Padres have played like four more games than the Braves have. You're going to need all the help you can get this weekend against Atlanta.
By the way, I know I wasn't going to praise Bassick on television because y'all put it in my mind he was going to ditch me at Pluckers for draft night. I don't think he will. I don't think he would do that to me. He was Romo yesterday. He put on a freaking good early Romo.
Oh, okay.
Early Romo.
Good early Romo.
James?
Not the doesn't watch. Not doesn't watch the sport Romo.
Raymond Dave. Dude, he was putting on a freaking clinic with pitch sequences, telling Raymond that the guy that whoever their starter was, who's a bum, was going to bounce.
Kenta Maeda?
Yeah, Maeda was going to start bouncing them on purpose, and he called it. Maeda bounced one after a splitter, and Raymond's like he chuckled, like, are you kidding me? Like, how? And Bassick's like, I'm just watching him. And he's like, I'm telling you 100%, and off speed is coming here. He was just breaking it down. It was scientific.
I was thinking this during this week's broadcast. I can't remember which day it was. I think in NFL, I want quarterbacks to be analysts, right? You want the quarterback to be the analyst in the NFL. At least I do in football. And I really want pitchers to be the analyst in baseball because there is nothing that's done more than a pitch, right? And they know pitchers better than anybody else. And they know pitch sequence and how to set hitters up and how to punch tickets, right? They know all that. And I think that's why – and catchers make great managers. I think pitchers make great analysts.
And Smoltz has been a beast at that.
Smoltz has been fantastic. I mean, except when he's picking against the Rangers.
Exactly. Alex Faust, who hopefully is not anti-Rangers, is the Apple TV voice that you're going to hear tonight for Rangers Braves. He joins us on the D&M Leasing Hotline on the home of the World Series champs. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know how these national commentators are. They're always biased against your team and only your team.
What did you make? Did you hear and do you hear, Smoltz doesn't like? I mean, we always hear it for Joe Buck. And how do you try to balance that? And how much of that do you catch?
You know what? It's interesting. I do catch myself occasionally because, you know, all that we root for when we come in, we parachute in for these games. And we get it, you know, like the home team announcers. That's the beauty of baseball, right? You know, you got your guys there for 162 games. And so it's always hard when, you know, these new guys come in and you don't know them. They don't know you. I catch myself sometimes, especially if the home crowd is in a frenzy. Yeah, you get excited for that. You root for a good story. You root for an entertaining game. But we try as much as we can to, you know, to highlight the big stories from both teams. And luckily, we got a matchup here that it makes it easy for us to do with two of the last three world champions.
All right, just so we can criticize you like everyone else on social media, where did you grow up and who was your team? Let's put it out there.
Oh, boy. Well, I grew up in New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn. My team growing up was the Yankees. But it's so funny when you work in this business and you could talk to, you know, any number of commentators, especially if they're not affiliated with the team, like you really have to actually almost have a form of detachment. It's hard to root for anybody after a while because you're embedded with the sport. You root for individuals, right? Like you, it's like there are some guys that you meet along the way who you wind up just, I will root for this individual and his story. Like, I mean, we're going to talk, I'm sure, about the rookies for Texas. But, you know, I'm already a fan of Wei Langford. I'm already a fan of Evan Carter. I'm rooting for their success, even if, you know, I'm not rooting for them in the game or the Rangers in the game in the moment. But, it's, you know, that you have to have at least some sort of personal, you know, connection or conviction when doing the game. It's hard to really humanize people otherwise.
Alex Faust from Apple TV joining us on 105.3 The Fan. What did you think of the Jack Leiter debut?
Well, it could have been a little bit better. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you want to get it out of the way for these. We were just in Baltimore last week, and, you know, Jackson Holliday, much anticipated, you know, going up to make his debut. And so every time he comes to the plate, we were like, oh, you know, is this the moment he gets his first hit? And we're building up the drama, and then, you know, kind of falls a little bit flat. I mean, it was a wild game yesterday, right? And it goes to show, you know, this Rangers team, how much they can score. But, yeah, I mean, Jack – It's clear, right? You know, he's got a long career ahead of him. There's a reason why the Rangers drafted him in the first round and have rushed him along as quickly as he has. But, I mean, the kid, obviously, it's obvious that he has good raw stuff. It's just, you know, this Detroit team is also pretty good as well.
Alex, let's get your take on this Ranger team. You know, last year they caught everybody by surprise, a lot of people, outside of Peyton, our producer, had about 93 wins. But everybody else didn't have them there. They catch them by surprise. They win the World Series. Like, this year it's been a little bit of a struggle, though.
Well, you know, I think you go back to last year, and what was the big hang-up with the Rangers last year, and it was especially their bullpen. Like, they could hit. You know, they did a pretty good job, actually, of putting together their rotation. And this year they tried to bolster that a little bit. Still, the bullpen is a nagging concern. I'm of the opinion that we tend to forget that guys even like Marcus Semien, he's always been a slow starter, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so I don't think there's cause for concern. You're in April still. You know, already there have been, you know, three instances this year where you've put up 10 or more runs in a game. So even though, yeah, on the whole, you look at the offensive numbers, and you got to factor in the injuries, too, of the corner infielders. But I'll take Semien and Seager up the middle any day with Zoes Garcia right there as well. I think in the long run, there shouldn't be cause for concern. Other than, you know, as you guys, I'm sure, have talked about, it's still the bullpen that is a big challenge for this team.
Alex Faust will be on the call for Rangers and Braves tonight on Apple TV. Alex, you talk about, you know, delivering from a national perspective, humanizing players, trying to, you know, point out storylines that are of interest to a national audience and everything else. When you look at this Rangers team, what do you think are the two or three areas that you say, this is something that, we'd really like to highlight about this baseball team when we're talking about them? But what are the interesting aspects of this team that you think resonate nationally?
Well, you know, one thing that we were kicking around in our production meetings this week was how many teams around baseball, they go for a big splash free agent and it just doesn't work, or it doesn't live up to expectation, especially when you attach a dollar figure to the contract. I don't know if the Texas front office gets enough credit for, and Chris Young and those guys, you know, obviously, you know, he's been promoted in the, you know, GM role, but I don't know if they get enough credit for, okay, they spent big on their middle infield, and then they actually panned out. I mean, like, how many teams across baseball will have this, you know, massive free agent contract, and then it just doesn't work out or doesn't match fan expectations? And this one worked to a T. It was exactly what the Rangers needed. They needed a bat at short, and they needed a guy who was an everyday player, middle infield, who's clearly an MVP candidate in Semien. who is just so durable. It was a home run for both of those signings, and I just don't think it gets enough credit around baseball just how well those two have worked out.
Alex, let's get a quick preview of the Braves here. They lose Strider, but here they are, best record in the sport, or best winning percentage in the sport, I should say. And you know, everybody had picked them and the Dodgers to be the two best. Are they exceeding the expectations that were already lofty of them to begin with?
I don't know about exceeding, but they can outscore their problems right now. I mean, their starting pitching, as you mentioned, you know, without Strider, that's their North Star. I mean, he is their best strikeout artist. I'd argue their best pitcher overall. You know, their starters have the fourth worst ERA combined in baseball. And yet they're scoring, you know, almost 6.5 runs per game. Okay, well, that'll win you ball games. They've been clutch late. They have the deepest lineup, I believe, in baseball, from 1 through 9. You know, when they're healthy, there is truly nowhere too high. They're without Ozzy Albies right now on the 10-day IL, you know, fractured toe after a hit by pitch. You know, but you have the reigning National League home run leader in Matt Olson. Jared Kelnick, I thought, was a pretty savvy pickup, you know, from Seattle. Obviously, it didn't work out well there. And you've got the reigning MVP in Acuna, who I know he got off to a slow start, too. You know, a lot of the chatter around Texas is, you know, the offense is, you know, for some of these guys got off to a slow start. Acuna didn't hit his first home run until this week. I think this Atlanta team, it'll come down to, okay, if they hit a rough patch offensively as a group, and I don't think they will because they're just that deep, but if they do, okay, what then? How does their pitching staff pick them up? And I think that is the one question right now with the Braves is it's only one guy. And last year they had to deal with injuries to their rotation too. But, man, when you lose your ace, it's hard to bounce back from that.
Alex, we know you also have a background as somebody who calls a lot of hockey too, doing, you know, Kings mm-hmm. games over the years, Bruins and Rangers and other things like that. Your thoughts on the Dallas Stars this season before we let you go and their draw of getting the Golden Knights in this first round matchup? Mm-hmm.
Well, they're my pick to win the Stanley Cup.
There we go.
I'm totally serious, guys. I am not pandering, and this is why. You could tell me if you can find a deeper, heavier team uh-huh. with a top-end goaltender in the NHL. Tell me if you can find one, because I don't know if there's one that meets all those criteria. You know, they've been able to draft well. They've got these kids that have come up and made an impact right away, late in these drafts too. Not just, you know, the high-end guys. Their defense is heavy and sturdy. Jake Ottinger, man, that crazy save he made in overtime the other night, just nonchalantly putting the paddle out there. I mean, he is locked in right now. And I think there are a lot of questions around Vegas. Like, you know, they're banged up. Is Mark Stone going to be impactful even though he's coming back? What's their goaltending look like? It's just been – it's an up-and-down season for them. You know, so I think Dallas has got to be happy with the draw. The only thing is when Vegas is good, they're really good. You just don't know what you're going to get from them. And I would take my chances with this Dallas Stars team. I think they have what it takes to go all the way.
Thank goodness the Rangers are not taking on the Yankees tonight. Won't have to hear the favoritism from Alex Faust on Apple television.
Hey, you know, I would try my best.
Hey, man, thank you so much for the time. We'll be watching tonight. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
There is Alex Faust on the D&M Leasing Hotline, and also has the hockey knowledge as well.
Well, he is right. The Stars are
picked to win it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of teams. They are a lot of people's pick to win it.
Why the local news television stations may be paying attention and following Bobby Belt and that Zero Sugar? A little bit of a fraud, apparently. Things you need to know heading into the weekend with Sean and RJ next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I bet you have.
Bobby?
Don't want money, just someone who wants
my company. All right, let's see if we like this one. Kind of 0 for 2 with the
Taylor. More upbeat, man. I went through like 20. They're all slow.
What's your review so far overall? New Taylor Swift that just dropped.
You know what? I like the first two that we played, though, with Posty. I like the slower Taylor Swift songs. I'm going to go 8 of 10 so far.
8 of 10?
8 of 10. Now, I can go up and down from there. And go up and down, but 8 of 10.
This is poor woman's Enya. That's what this is.
I'm not a fan of it yet. I'm sure there's going to be good songs on it. She's got 31, so I'm sure there's going to be good songs. But so far, I'm not a fan. Not yet. Apparently, she cooks Kim Kardashian in this.
Really? Why?
There's a tweet out there. It says she cooked Kim in ruthless fashion. She's waited years to get revenge and pulled it off in savage fashion. Kardashian might want to stay off the internet for a while.
Revenge from what?
I have no idea.
And how does she cook?
I don't know. That was just a tweet that's out there.
And what's this early review you just showed
this
me?
This is an early review of the album. Taylor Swift's new album, Bobby, is a massive disappointment.
Oh!
Seems to have lost her edge.
Who wrote that?
Outkick.
Well, I mean, okay.
That's probably
why. Outkick criticize a white person. I'm shocked.
She's
she's a Democrat.
Yeah, that's...
All right, never mind.
That's where that came from. Look, I mean, maybe Travis Kelce killed her production creativity. Maybe, like, I mean, she may be one of these people. It's like she can only tap into the genius whenever she's fake heartbroken. Yeah. You know,
he got cooked the other day for politics.
Kelce,
he liked a.
What did Aaron Rodgers say?
No, he liked a picture of Trump was shaking hands with somebody, and he liked it, and he got cooked.
Really?
For liking it? Yeah, you can't. I guess you can't like things anymore.
I thought he was a vaccine spokesman.
I know. This is the world we're in, man. You can't do anything anymore.
You know what? Y'all just set it up. I was going to stay away from it on a Friday, but this was Aaron Rodgers the other day on the Look Into It pod, and RJ's into conspiracies now.
I am not into conspiracy.
You said you were.
You
said you were like 2 weeks ago. I didn't say you believed them. You were into them.
Oh, I like to hear them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear them.
Like you're down to investigate.
Oh, absolutely. I'll investigate anything. I don't buy half 90% of them, but I will absolutely listen to things.
So this was Aaron Rodgers. Now, the headline, I didn't listen to it, but Choppy said this was misconstrued, misreported, claiming the U.S. government created HIV.
The blueprint, the game plan was made in the 80s. Create a pandemic, you know, with a virus that's going wild, right? He was given, Fauci was given like over $350 million to research this, to come up with drugs, new or repurposed, to handle the AIDS pandemic. And all they came up with was AZT. And if you do even a smidge of research, and I know I'm not a, you know, epidemiologist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an immunologist, whatever the I can read though, right? And I can learn and look things up just like any normal person. You know, I can do my own research, which was so vilified, you know, to even question authority. But that was the game plan back then. Create an environment where only one thing works. Back then, AZT. Now, remdesivir until we get a vaccine, which, by the way, Anthony Fauci had stake in the Moderna vaccine. And we know Pfizer is one of the most criminally corrupt organizations ever. The fine they paid was the biggest in the history of the DOJ in 2009. Like, what are we talking about? We're going to put our full trust in science that can't be questioned.
Yeah, I think the headline was wrong. He wasn't saying that the U.S. invented AIDS. I think what he's trying to say is, because he's just quoting Brett Weinstein. That's all
I can read, though.
That's all he's quoting Brett Weinstein, who's like I don't know what he does. He's like a biologist of some kind. But Brett was on a Rogan podcast. He's just reciting exact kind of what he said, but he's misquoting him.
So he's plagiarizing.
Well, I don't know if you're plagiarizing. He's not plagiarizing. He's using somebody else's, like.
Is he crediting them?
I don't know. I mean,
it didn't sound like it. It sounded like these are my. He just said, I can read. I can do. So that sounds like he's saying.
That's true. That's fair. That's what he's doing. He's just like misquoting him a little bit. I don't think he's saying that the U.S. invented HIV. That's crazy. That's absolute lunacy.
I don't see him saying that they invented it, but I definitely hear him saying, I'm not saying outright like he's told her. I'm just saying it sounds like he's saying they absolutely took advantage of it, though, and decided to posit it
He's trying to say that they tried to control people with medication.
There are some people who believe that, you know, solutions and vaccines and cures are out there, but because of big pharma and medicine, that they let people die off.
I mean, if you want to tell me there's a conspiracy out there that they have a cure for cancer and there's too much money in cancer treatments and they won't do, I will totally buy that.
Yeah.
We're too advanced. We're too advanced to not have a cure for cancer. Mm. Are we not? I mean, maybe we aren't. Maybe we are. There are like tribes that just don't get certain diseases. They just never get it.
And then to add to all this, I want to count how many texts we get this segment compared to the rest of the show. Didn't an NFL draft prospect pass away the other day? What was that from?
Middle Tennessee State?
No, he's from Albany State.
Albany State.
Albany State. Yeah, an Albany State edge rusher who was thought to be potentially a late round pick, but I mean definitely somebody that like NFL teams were aware of. He apparently passed away of a heart attack at 25 years old.
I mean, 25-year-olds always get heart attacks. It makes perfect sense. Well, nothing to see here.
Okay. Did he get vaccinated?
I don't know. See, that's the thing.
That's the thing. You don't know.
No, you don't know.
I did that with your reply.
But we should know before we imply it.
No, I wasn't implying anything. It was just
Not you. Chompy was implying.
I wasn't implying that either. Because I don't think the vaccine does that. I think COVID does that. Like, we have the amount of athletes that have died post-COVID. Everybody points to the vaccine. I think you just point to COVID. COVID messes people up.
Okay.
So, I never had heart problems before COVID. I got one vaccine. I don't think it was necessarily I don't know if it was. I have no idea. Maybe it was. But I think it's just as likely that it could have been COVID that did it, not the actual vaccine.
Okay. So, there it is. Our most texted segment, I'm sure, of the entire show and program here on Sean and RJ. It is apparent that the local news media is paying attention to the Neighborhood Watch. Bobby called it. He said this would become a story, and it did.
And this was, thank you for all the heads up I got from people yesterday. First from Tolo Stacy in Weatherford. He forwarded this over to me. And then boss man Gavin Spittle, he forwarded me the email. He's like, hey, check this out, this announcement from Frontier. We had said yesterday during Neighborhood Watch that Frontier Communications had some weird stuff going on. They were like they told me I wasn't able to be added as a new customer. They said they weren't able to add anyone as new customers over the last several days. And people were saying, I can't pay my bill. I can't get in my account. It's like, this is weird. This sounds like ransomware. And that's what we talked about. But I was like, we can't find anything on the internet. News stories talking about, this is weird. Internet service providers basically not added new customers for 4 days. And there's nothing about it out there. That's a little weird. Well, yesterday, it came to light that indeed they had a cyber breach. They had it was on Sunday, and was possibly the work of a cyber crime group, the company says, according to the Wall Street Journal. This was something where this was disclosed because on Thursday they had to disclose it to the NASDAQ or to Wall Street, that basically hey, we've had a breach, and so they had to disclose that to stockholders. But this is exactly what we called. I called for an investigation. I called for us to hold these people accountable.
And every Tolo said that definitely has to be.
We did get a lot of people text in and were like, yeah, this is 100% ransomware. If you have experience with it, that's what this is. Now, apparently they're saying that they've got it under control. They're not worried about it. Everything's going to be okay. But this is when you can't add customers for 4 days, I would imagine your stock would take a hit. And this is what the Neighborhood Watch does. We do what the lamestream media doesn't do. We report on the real stuff. Okay? That's what we do. We actually tackle the real subjects here.
Oh, who's that Channel 8 reporter they send out for like all the event? George dang it.
Mike Leslie.
No.
Oh. George Reba.
George Reba.
I was thinking of George Reba.
I love George Reba.
Sean Rabb.
That's Fox 4 News.
Fox 4, Sean Rabb.
Sean Rabb.
That's what we're doing here with the Neighborhood Watch.
Yep,
going out on the streets. And Choppy is here to ruin Bobby Belt's daily liquid intake. Was it you who said that the Yep. It's a myth?
I was looking. Is that Coke Zero? Coke Zero.
It is.
Because yep. Bobby told me the other day that the Coke Zeros and everything taste just like the originals. And he's like, here, try some of this. And I'm like, no, this is not as good as regular Coke.
But you did say it was good. You said it was better than Diet Coke.
It's definitely not close. Well, Pepe?
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why it tastes just like it. Because it contains 100% sugar.
No, it doesn't. I saw this story, too. No, it doesn't.
Pepsi is recalling more than 200 cases of certain zero sugars, like the Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale.
Mm-hmm, which I don't drink. Good.
Nope. Because the beverages are found to contain 100% sugar.
Dang. Bobby.
Now, this is not everywhere. This is only in certain parts of the country. But the first recall was initiated back in March. And now they're just finishing this thing up. But PepsiCo, the products labeled, they gave them all the way up to May that are having complete sugar in them. So the zero sugar drinks obviously are aimed at Coke Zero, the sugarless soft drink that contains artificial sweeteners. So just keep an eye on that if you're buying Pepsi Zero Sugar.
So how are you reading this different, Bob?
Because he's got Coke
because
Zero.
Because it's Coke Zero to begin with. And second, they talk about that it's not like all of Pepsi Zero brands. That's how the headline read was Pepsi Zero had to recall all their brands because of sugar. It's literally just the ginger ale.
Which is the ginger ale zero, which I don't drink. I do think the ginger ale zero tastes very similar to regular ginger ale. And I think now I know why. It's because of this.
I don't understand this reference, but y'all are Seinfeld guys. 817 says, this is the Seinfeld yogurt episode, only with sodas and sugar.
The non-fat yogurt. Interestingly enough, they made two episodes because they did it in the middle of an election cycle with the New York mayor. So they did one election. They did one episode where they talked about Giuliani, and then the other one where they talked about Mayor Dinkins and getting the non-fat yogurt stuff. That was a little fun fact aside from, I finished Curb, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. I think they did a much better ending.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I've only watched it on an airplane.
On an airplane?
Yeah. And I've liked the episodes.
They basically recreated the Seinfeld finale.
Oh.
And they
did. Is this the finale of Curb forever?
The whole thing. Yeah, it's over. So they basically recreated the Seinfeld finale, and in it, you know, spoiler alert.
When did it come out originally? I wouldn't spoil it yet if it was the last 2 weeks.
It was about 2 weeks. Yeah. It was about 2 weeks.
Then, yeah, but don't say.
I thought they did a good job with it.
Is two-hand touch coming to a stadium near you? And Trayvon Diggs told me, yo, man, this ain't a reality show. More evidence that, yes, Trayvon, it is. Below the belt, right here on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. No tackling allowed.
What?
So TJ Hockenson wants.
He wants RJ has supported too. All right, all you. What's the rule? What was that?
The hip drop.
The hip drop.
Yeah. You're not allowed to, I guess you're only allowed to tackle people like in the torso
maybe
now.
The right way. How about that? The right way. If Ray Lewis didn't do it, it's not the right way. Not everything.
Didn't do what?
Not everything. If he didn't tackle you that way, it's not the right way.
So TJ Hockenson spoke earlier this week after he had there was a bit of a controversial hit that he took, a lower body hit that caused the end of his season in 2023. It was one of several injuries that the Vikings had, but he tore his ACL and MCL ligaments in his right knee from an injury that he suffered when Lions safety Kirby Joseph, friend of the nosebleed seats, by the way, Kirby Joseph, tackled him below the waist. And people thought, like, hey, again, same sort of thing. Like, we gotta work to get this kind of stuff out of the game. Like when you're going after people's legs and going after knees, we can't have this thing. And so TJ Hockenson said, obviously, I wasn't too happy about it. And he called on the NFL to address why defenders can hit pass catchers low in situations where they're catching the ball and coming down. He says, it's tough. It really is. We're big guys running through the middle of the field. This is a business. And I don't think anyone goes out on the field wanting to injure a player like that. So I'm looking at the light of that and hoping that's not what the intent was, to injure a player in that sense. But I think to have it happen a couple weeks later after Tyler Higbee, I think that's something the league needs to look and see what it can do. So is the rule eventually going to be, are like offensive players just at a point where they're saying, like, you have to tackle me in the torso? Like, you can't hit me anywhere below the belt.
Below the belt.
You can't do it.
Yes. They obviously, the Tom Brady rule.
Tom Brady.
Now you have CTE with
the tour rule.
And now if you try to lasso one and grab them, now they're going to punish you if too much distribution of the weight goes to one side or the other.
So only the torso. Maybe that's why Micah Parsons was taking punches to the sternum, because he's preparing to only get hit in his torso.
So they were showing that over and over on TV this morning. Bobby, you were wondering how that had not been aired sooner.
Yeah, and it was...
He's going to be peeing blood for like a week.
He trains for boxing. Micah Parsons, or he does boxing training during the offseason. Remember, he's not at OTA, or he's not at these offseason workouts, because he's doing his own training program, which includes the boxing aspect of it. I can't remember who the boxer is. He's with some little guy, little-looking boxer, and it was first one to tap out. They were trading punches with each other.
Corey Majors is showing us his zero
sugar. Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar's good, too.
Dr. Pepper.
So
in the last segment.
They're doing a TikTok video where it's like first one to tap out is out, like loses. And Micah gets to punch first. And, man, Micah comes in and hits him dead in the stomach. Like, he kind of does this thing, Chop, like fist. Like, he doesn't hit, like, with his knuckles. He hits with, like, the front of his fist.
Micah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an odd punch.
It looked at it, and it's like, it feels like you could break your wrist.
Ryan's got it right now on YouTube and Twitch.
So if you're there on the video, you'll see it there. But it looks like something where, like, the dude could, like, potentially, like, hurt his wrist doing that. Well, then the boxer comes up there, and I guess, I don't know boxing well enough. A bunch of people were saying, like, yeah, watch the difference there. Micah's punching this guy in the stomach. The guy went straight for his sternum. Like, and just punched him there, and he couldn't handle the same force.
And it's also, like, there's a technique that the boxer knows. I mean, he's not punching with his arm. He's punching with his hips.
Boy,
and
he...
Like, Micah's, like, you know...
Micah looked in pain, getting punched right there in his xiphoid process. Is that a little bone there at the end of your sternum?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like he got hit in.
I'm exclusively reporting that people inside the Cowboys think... I'm joking. It doesn't seem like the smartest thing.
It doesn't, but I mean...
No, it doesn't.
And I'm not talking about for Micah's abdomen. I'm talking about for Micah's wrists.
Yeah, the wrists were...
I think in general, it's just pretty dumb. Like, hey, look, punch me in the stomach.
A pro boxer?
Yeah, just punch me here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get me here, man.
Not very wise. But apparently, Micah's training for that because TJ Hawkinson says, get rid of all tackling at the... you can't tackle the legs. You can't hit anywhere. You got to, you know... lay the quarterback down and read him a bedtime story and tuck him in if you're going to sack him. Like, you can't hit anybody anymore.
I just don't know how they're going to judge it. I can't wait to see. I'll admit if I'm wrong, but how they judge body weight.
It's so... Okay,
like, your leg...
With the hip drop,
Your legs are going to have to literally be out like this. They're going to have to be parallel, like, to be an obvious hip drop tackle. That's the way I feel like. It's very hard to judge.
I think Harbaugh made a good point. He's like, if you can wrap them up and hip drop them, then you're close enough to wrap them up and tackle them the right way, or without the hip drop, I should say. Now, is it going to be more difficult? Are you going to see running backs and wide receivers breaking more tackles? Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if you're talking about defensive tackles, for instance, you got somebody running up the middle, and a defensive tackle is getting off a block and trying to catch somebody at the side as they're coming off a block. That's going to look like a hip drop a lot of times.
I think we all know what we're talking about, right? We're talking about when the running back gets outside and it's not a defensive tackle, it's a corner.
No, I don't think we all know that. Like, I think they're going to flag.
They're
that
not going to flag a defensive tackle for just moving to the left and
falling the same way. Yeah, it doesn't matter the intent.
It's when you wrap up and you stick your legs out and you land on them. That's the hip drop.
No, they are going. I'm telling you, you're going to see this early on. There are going to be flags for just guys coming off of blocks at the defensive line and trying to make a tackle as somebody's running by them. They are going to flag it for it. Intent doesn't matter at all in this one. They want it out. It's weird. I remember I read a book by Mike Freeman.
Well, the one who blocked. Read Mike Freeman's book?
I did read Mike Freeman's book.
What was
book.
It about?
It was about the future of the league and the concussion problem and like. How sustainable is the concussion issue? And he wrote about like one of the, like boxing being such a massive sport in the 30s and how deaths in the ring and massive injuries in the ring and like issues with the violence, the innate violence within it, ultimately led to the decline of the sport and changes that had to be made. And I mean, it rebounded obviously a little bit later, but they went through a really rough period. And he had said that football is going to eventually meet this date. And this book was written 8 years ago, something like that. And that he said that you've got a situation where eventually people are going to start questioning how violent the game of football is and the long-term health implications on it. And you're going to have to start making changes. And it's ultimately not even going to recognize the same game. And it's ultimately going to be the NFL is no longer the juggernaut that it once was. It's like Rome falling. Like, it's just, it's a, you didn't think it was possible for them to collapse like they did. And I wonder if eventually we do hit that. A lot of people thought the DeMar Hamlin thing was going to be a turning point. It wasn't. But a lot of people thought it was going to be.
No, it's all getting more popular.
Yeah.
You can't fall on the quarterback a certain way. You got the CTE. You got the lower leg thing. It's becoming more popular. It's going the opposite way of what people predicted, including Mark Cuban.
You know what's also becoming more popular?
Maybe the CBA went the opposite way of his prediction, too.
Yeah.
The Dallas Football Cowboys. They're becoming more popular. It doesn't matter. Look, we're worried about
off the field.
Just like Kentucky. We look at the impressions, all right?
Yes, impressions, baby.
How many impressions did Green Bay have when they were playing San Francisco? Not as many as the Cowboys that week when people were trying to figure out if they were firing Mike McCarthy. I bet the Cowboys had more impressions. Right. That is what matters. The Dallas Cowboys have the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader show coming back to airwaves. So you remember this was the one that was on like was CMT or something for years, and I'm
old enough to remember when it was TNN, the Nashville network.
Oh yeah, I've got some old TNN VHS. I think Bill Dance is fishing on there.
Wild Horse Saloon, baby.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I hope I have that video.
1997.
Did you watch his video? I told you had to see.
Yes.
And was it amazing?
It was pretty great.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. I think we should play it on the air, but he says no.
Stop talking about it.
So the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader show, which a lot of people thought went away because of the scandal with Rich Dalrymple and everything else that had happened, but in reality, they said it was, you know, production costs or whatever else. But a lot of people felt like that was the reason why, is that okay, we can't do this anymore in this era. Well, it's back. Netflix will begin airing the show this summer. America's Sweethearts, Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders. And it's something that followed them along. It's like archive footage from last year and stuff that they were filming last year. But it's important to know. We got the Jerry Jones documentary coming out here soon.
When's that coming out?
I don't know. Like, did they give us a date for that?
I didn't see a date yet.
I don't think they gave us a date. But this is good news, because this now means that the Dallas Cowboys have as many Netflix projects in the work as outside free agents that they've signed this offseason, which is two. Eric Kendricks, Royce Freeman. It's the same as their Netflix programming.
They have more of those than they've had playoff wins in any single year since 1996.
Oh, we're laughing about it, whatever else. They have to nail this draft. There's so much pressure on this personnel department to hit every pick out of the park. I'll tell you what, that was really interesting last night when we were doing Draft 101 out at Ford Center, or actually technically the Star.
They like you to say the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco.
But I wasn't in the Ford Center. I was on the other part. I was on the other side. But it was really interesting. There was definitely some uneasiness in that crowd whenever you'd start talking about issues with the Cowboys. Like, hey, look, we know they haven't spent in free agency. So, if you made any sort of reference to that and an answer or whatever else, you'd start hearing like murmuring, or like somebody came up, asked a question, and was just basically ranting about the Cowboys offseason. And when he got done talking, like everybody in the audience was like, yeah, it was like an angry town hall meeting. It's like, guys, this isn't us. Like, we didn't do it. But there is, I know we said it the other day, they are, even though their jobs are not at risk, Stephen Jones' job, Jerry Jones' job, they're not at risk. I think especially Steven seems to really feel the pressure from the fan base this year, because they are, it's not just apathy. Like, we've had apathetic off seasons before for the fan base. This is angry.
Yep.
This is actively mad and feeling like you don't care enough about winning. I think they care about winning. The question is, do they care about it at all costs, or does it have to be their way?
Interesting that they would not care about winning and don't want you to say that, but then they complain that Amari Cooper didn't care about football.
They do care about winning. And that's what I'm saying. And I know a lot of people push back against that. I had people freak out when I said the other day, Jerry Jones cares about winning. People screamed at me on Twitter about just that one sentence, which I don't think is that controversial. I think he wants to win. I don't think he wants to lose. But the question is, like, are they committed to, but this is our belief and how it's done? Are they willing to challenge the beliefs of how to build a winning football team?
Below the belt every day at this time with our Cowboys Insider on your home of America's team. It's time for the official picks. Put it on the phone line. Put it on the text line. It's the same number for both of you. Want to call with your Dallas Maverick LA Clipper predictions. 877-881-1053. That's how we kick off the final hour of the week. Mavs, Clippers, and how many next?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.